Blog Talk Radio.
Another show. You are now on Meet the Left. This is episode 20. I'm your host, Tony Smith. Thank you guys for listening in. And today's show is an interview with Freeman Michaels. We're going to be discussing topics such as cooperative economics, and he's going to just give us some information as far as that particular issue is concerned. And we'll also talk about some other things. If you guys want to call in and join the conversation, all you have to do is call in at 914-205-5327, and we will take your call. Thank you. I want to thank everybody for listening in via our YouTube stream, Periscope, as well as Ustream, Daily Motion, Pal Talk, Podbeam speaker. We're now broadcasting through Alexa via Amazon. I want to thank everybody listening in at 105.9 in Urbana, Illinois. I want to thank all of you guys for listening in. And let's go ahead and get into the show. Now, like I said, we're going to discuss a cooperative economics and Freeman Michaels was running for office in California, but unfortunately did not qualify, and therefore he is now doing more of a media-type things, you know, trying to inform people of issues that matter to him and his community. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce Freeman Michaels. Freeman Michaels, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Sure. I'm using an iPhone headset. It should be...
Okay.
Oh,
okay,
wait.
That's good.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right.
All
I
right. Thank you for being a part of the show. We greatly appreciate your presence. Can you just give our listening audience just a brief description of who you are, you know what you're about, that sort of thing, just so they can get an idea of who you are?
Yeah, I was generally a progressive most of my life. I get a weird echo. Generally mostly progressive my life. I was a tech guy, worked in the Silicon Valley industry for 2 decades. And in 2016, I was a big Bernie guy. I listened to Tom Hartman for a while, and I heard Brunch with Bernie, and I was always stoked with him. And when he was running for office, running for president, I was absolutely thrilled. I was with him from the day he announced all the way until the end. And at the time, I felt like once someone had the huevos to go up and say the things that Bernie was saying, that it would be a shoe-in and that he was just going to win. And then finally someone would be like, yes, a progressive that's willing to say these things. I never understood why no one else did. And then Bernie did, and I was expecting him to just trounce Hillary. And as things went on, as you know, we don't need to relive the 2016 primaries. You know, my eyes started to open and to see how things were working. And then come 2018, I'm like, you know what? We just need someone who's willing to speak their truth and say their, you know, say what they think in Congress. So I decided I'm skipping past a lot of stuff there, but I decided I was going to run for office. And I was if you're not doing it through a party, the basic process is that you have to get 40 valid signatures from your district, and that you're allowed to turn in up to 60, so that you don't just, you know, spam them with thousands of signatures and make them go through it. So what a couple of friends and I did for this campaign is that we, you know, gathered enough signatures. We gathered, I think 49 was the number we turned in, and you can validate the name and the address in their records so that we know that they were valid, and we crossed off the ones that we knew were invalid. So we turned in 49 valid. And then lo and behold, the government told me a month later that the enough signatures didn't match the voting records that they had on file. So, and really the absurdity there is that, you know, I'm asking random people on the street to sign, you know, a petition to get me on the ballot. I don't have access to their signature. You know, it's not like I can validate that. And it's like, it's nice enough of these people to trust me and put their name and address on, you know, a random stranger's clipboard. Like that in and of itself is kind of weird. So it's like, you know, to me, it's like my eyes kind of opened and I said, there's something really wrong here. And I thought there was something really wrong even before I ran for Congress. But it's like, so that to me is just yet another symptom of this system that's been corrupted, and it really prevents new ideas from coming to fruition. It really shouldn't be this hard to have new ideas come out and be discussed. So I think that gives you. I'm generally a progressive, but I'm a person that I talk to all sides. I'm friends with conservatives. You know, I have amosexual friends. I understand what they're saying. You know, and it's like I feel like if you don't force people to choose between Democrat and Republican, or you know, force people to live in capitalism and serve their community through government, that we have other options that aren't going to lead us so divided as we are.
Awesome. I hear you. I wanted to actually also play a clip of this new cooperative economy. It's the clip of that 7-minute video mm-hmm. that you have.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play the clip of it just so our listening audience can get an idea of what a new cooperative economy is. And then I would like you, if you could, to elaborate once this clip is played. So let's listen in on this clip. And we got a couple callers in the queue, so we'll take those calls as well. So let's just take a
Perfect.
Listen to this clip, and then we'll talk about it. Let's listen.
Perfect.
Let's assume your goal is to live in peace and abundance. People generally want the basics and are willing to do their part. To get the basics, we go to school, compete in the game of business, and address our differences in the government. Scarcity exists throughout this system because abundance, self-sufficiency, and independence are not profitable. The goal of the game becomes influence over others.
We're on treadmills. We're just hamsters on a treadmill, fucking running our asses off. And they just slowly take away the treadmill. And we just hop onto the other treadmill and then fucking start tumbling. And they go, motherfucking treadmill! And we beat the shit out of and no one ever goes, why are we on these treadmills?
The referees in this game are there to prevent the players from taking things too far. The goal of the players, however, is to always take it further. Over time, the players gain too much influence, poisoning the spirit of the game. It becomes increasingly difficult to achieve peace and abundance.
Would you play a game of chess with a guy who every time he needed to just added his pieces back onto the board? And you're like, wow, he's a really good chess player. If I just worked harder, No, you'd flip over the fucking board. You'd flip over the board and then you'd click that little clock as a final fuck you. Ah!
It becomes increasingly difficult to achieve peace and abundance. Rather than working 40 hours a week to live, communities can cooperate with better results doing less work. This happens because cooperation negates the need for stockholders, expensive executive staff, lawyers to protect intellectual property, marketing departments to convince people to feel bad about themselves but their product can help them. The goal in a cooperative economy becomes the service rather than the profit. And the efficiency benefits the workers with more free time as opposed to making more money for stockholders. Rather than paying for infotainment and for-profit skewed dramatization of facts, communities can set up a system where news becomes disseminated based on its relevance as rated by the community, and the goal of individual journalists becomes quality rather than quantity. Rather than trusting the FDA and drug industry to diagnose us, or trusting the health insurance industry whose profit increases when our health problems are not solved, communities can build up their open source health network to provide basic services at a fraction of the cost. Healthcare instead of sick care. Much like compound interest that pays you dividends for doing nothing, investing in your community pays future dividends, especially when shared with the world. This is called the cooperative economy. As community-oriented services grow, the need to play the capitalist game diminishes. The game itself is phased out due to a lack of demand and all the negative side effects that come with a society competing for the basics. Homelessness, unemployment, lack of resources, all these human-made problems become part of the past.
Ah!
John in San Diego does a little research online and grows food in a sustainable fashion, providing enough for his family and his neighbors. John shares how he did it in a blog. Sally in Los Angeles likes what John did, but finds a way to save water without changing the crop yield. She then shares how she did it. Steve in Silicon Valley likes the saving water aspect, but doesn't like the labor. He figures out how to automate most of it and shares his results. John's friend then takes the latest version and implements it for his community, creating some friendly competition. As more communities cooperate, the better our overall processes will be. As efficiency grows, the benefits go to the community in terms of less work required for the same output. Capitalism uses this efficiency to enrich the stockholders. And much like compound interest, communities investing in themselves while sharing knowledge will be paid continual dividends in the future. Investments pay off by having an independent local food supply that is humane, healthy, and stable. You won't have to wonder if research used to validate a drug was done by a drug company. You won't have to worry if the energy you are using is polluting the planet. You won't have to worry about schools not having enough resources. You won't have to worry about housing. You won't have to worry if a top-down oriented business has an agenda. You will be free to focus on your life and your family. The only question then becomes, when resources are available to you and your community, what will you do?
What will you do?
All right. That, and then I hope everybody heard that okay. I got new equipment, so hopefully all the sound is running okay. But that was pretty much a quick rundown of what cooperative economy is. And that's pretty much what we want to do as far as, like, because I'm a part of the Green Party, what we want to do with the Green Party. We want it local and everything, the power to come from local. So with these things, what are your views, Mr. Michaels, as far as, like, okay, this cooperative economy, how do you think that it can be implemented? What, where should we go, or how should we go about getting these types of economies implemented in our local communities? Can you speak to that point?
Absolutely. And, yeah, feel free to call Freeman. That is the best question, and the question that I'm struggling with right now. And I believe that it is much like the Internet, where if you have only a couple people using it, then you're not going to get a whole lot of benefit. But once enough people log on, once enough people are cooperating, then it becomes trivial. So what has to happen is that someone with enough influence over others, or people who listen, like someone like Kanye West, would say, "Hey, I think we should try it." And then that's enough of an idea where people are like, "You know what? I don't have anything else going on this summer, or I don't really have a future in school because I don't want to get into debt. I'm going to try something different. I'm going to try to make my community better. And then I'm going to share how I did it." And that's really the gist of the cooperative economy. You make your local community better, and you share how you did it. And I have some recommendations for how I think, nationally or globally, you should move. I think communities should be self-sufficient and independent on food, news, and health. And if we focus on those three aspects first, within 2 years, any community that implements this on any broad enough scale, it really doesn't take much. You could do it with your neighborhood, a block of 10 houses, or you could do it community-wide or county-wide. It's all up to you. And if you, within 2 years, if enough people do this, you've literally wiped out hunger. You have completely removed ABC, MSNBC, CBS, NPR, Fox, their influence, their corporate influence on the global narrative and foreign policy and whatnot, and what actually puts people, like generally living paycheck to paycheck, hoping the cars can break down. That's the general stresses that people have in the day. And so your community will then become self-sufficient, independent on food. You don't have to worry about what Monsanto says or puts in their food, or if the FDA is corrupt. News, we just talked about that. And then health, you don't have to worry about, I think it's ridiculous to assume we're going to get hospitals built in your community, but you can do what I mentioned, there's sick care versus health care. And there are things that we can do just to help improve our health that aren't profitable, going to be incentivized to do it. But if people are cooperating and your wealth is measured not by your bank account, but by the wealth of your community, like if you live in an area where no one's hungry because people are voluntarily cooperating, that's a measure of health and a measure of mental and emotional freedom. And the same thing can be said about your health. Like, maybe someone, I don't want to discount massages. Those are great. It's like your body stores stress. People are stressed out. And if you had someone in your local community who says, I'm not interested in doing food, but I'm going to do massages for the community. And you can be paid. You can be paid or trade, whatever. It's all up to you. But the whole idea is that you share how you did it. You share that you're doing it and that how you do it. And enough other people will see it and say, that's a good idea. I'm going to do what they did, or I'm going to approve this process, and I'm going to share how I did it. And then what happens is you have best practice available wherever, as long as you're on the internet, best practice for whatever process you want to do. And if you are a pioneer doing something new, then you share your success or failure, no big deal, and other people learn from you. And if you want to participate in capitalism,
that's pretty much
fine.
How.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
That's pretty much how the internet actually works. One person makes a video, right? And then another person sees that video and say, oh, I'm going to add this. And then another person sees that that's been added and then add to that. And then the original content provider is not upset at the fact that there are other videos that have been that has things that he or she has done added to it to enhance it. So it actually gives them a sense of pride being the originator and what has been added to it. So it's actually already in practice on the internet. So we just have to somehow get that practice to correlate over to our physical actions within our community. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's 100%. And like you said, it's already happening. I didn't invent cooperation. You know, it's like maybe I gave it a fancy name and ran for office. But there's not like, if anyone goes to peakprosperity.com, it's run by a guy, Chris Martinson, and he's been talking about this kind of stuff for ages. And he and a lot of his followers are working on how to make communities sustainable and how to grow food, because they're worried that, you know, there's going to be an oil shock, and that if our whole food system is run on this supply chain that requires oil and there's an oil shock and you don't trust, you know, these people running the planet, then it makes sense to make your community self-sufficient in food. And Chris Martinson and peakprosperity.com, I have no relation to him other than, you know, I like what he says. It's like, yeah, he's already doing it. He just doesn't call it the cooperative economy. But there they are, cooperating and sharing what they've done. And I think we just need to, you know, like I said, have more people plug into the internet, and I think we'll be a lot better off.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And then I think because you're going to get pushed back by the multinational corporations because you're putting them out of business. So... That's, in my view, where a political party is at hand, and where you would need a local cooperative political party. And in my view, if we get enough people to do this as well, it would be the Green Party. But that's just my personal view. And also independence, too. We shouldn't shun independence. But I do believe we must divest from this duopoly political system, as well as this private banking system that we're in. So I'm way ahead of you, and I researched it, and cooperative economies are actually already going on in certain areas. Like, for instance, like in Anchorage, Alaska, there are small communities who have cooperative economies because they use their oil revenue that they get from the government to make those communities have cooperative communities. So when you go to Alaska, you won't see very many Walmarts, you know, every 10 miles. You know, you may see one Walmart, and then you might not see another one for, you know, the rest of your stay in Alaska.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Alaska
it's a
is a great example.
And the only difference there with Alaska is that because the government becomes a central point of controlling the oil, and then you have the issue of democracy to petition the government. And that's kind of – that's the key point for me that has shown not to do – not to represent people well over time. And to me it makes sense. Because
right.
If you looked at where the institution of government came from, you know, hundreds of years ago, it was a replacement for monarchies and dictatorships. And what the elite said is, well, we don't want to give up control, but these pesky natives want to stay in what's going on in the world, so we'll give them some control. And you know, it's like even then they made the Senate. The Senate wasn't for the people, you know, our original Senate. That was what the, you know, House of Representatives was supposed to be. And so what it is like over time, it's just – the power of people standing together and coming together and having more of a voice. And that's a lot of what, you know, the parties are supposed to be about, representing people. But when you live in a world of greed, you know, generated by capitalism, anytime there's a central authority, it's going to get corrupted, like I would say the Democrats have been.
I agree. Let's actually take some calls here. We got a couple callers in the queue, so I'll take this call. This is 618-397. You're live on Meet the Left with Freeman and your host, Tony Smith. You have the floor. 618-397. You're live. Okay, I guess they don't want to speak, so I'll put them back on mute. And here's another caller, 503-847. You're live on Meet the Left. You have the floor.
Hey, this is Oliver here in from Oregon. The question I have is, what's the end? You're getting an echo on that. What are the ideas and sage advice on coalition building? Coalition building.
I think that's the wrong approach, because the whole idea behind building a central point to speak for you breeds corruption. And there's no way one person can speak for a community, even though maybe they agree with, hey, this guy wants world peace and this guy doesn't. Yeah. But maybe this guy likes red houses and a whole bunch of the community likes greenhouses. And it's like you anytime you have this top-down authority, I feel like the wrong path. And if that's the path that needs to be taken for that current moment, because that's your only option, that's fine. That's like I'm not discouraging people from trying to improve the Democrats or run it green or anything like that. But do it knowing that you should also be looking at other alternatives. And that's really what I was getting at with the cooperative economy. And Tony, you made a reference earlier where it's kind of along the lines of the same with the whole coalition building. And I honestly feel like it's like we're localizing things, but not enough. Like, the individual must stand up and become a leader. And you don't have to be a massive leader, like, to take all sorts of guns and arrows and whatnot, but be a mini leader in your community and, you know, be a pioneer and try and grow some fruit. Grow carrot for your community. You have chicken and eggs or whatnot, and then share how you did it. And once you find out, you start researching, a lot of people will help you because they're like, wow, this person's standing up and leading. They can be, thank you for giving me that voice. And it becomes infectious that people start making their community better, and you feel this alive in this spirit because you are actually doing what you want and doing something you believe in, as opposed to building a coalition and hoping it works and putting all your eggs in that basket and say, you know, come on, Bernie, you're going to pull through for me. It's like, well, yeah, I'd love it if that happens, but let's not put all of our society eggs in that basket. So in terms of coalition building, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what goal you want. I think it's really important that people feel heard and understood, and that if you're going to have a coalition, that it needs to be really open to new ideas. And, of course, at that point, there's going to be conflicting ideas. What do you do? So that's the problem.
Did you want to respond to that, Oliver?
Bounce ideas on that.
Well, we got about 90
thanks.
Seconds left in regulation. But go ahead.
No,
I
was just curious.
You have the floor, Oliver.
No, listen, I just wanted to see the insights. That's an interesting perspective. The coalition building dynamics is a really key factor in anything we do.
Yeah.
I'm on any level, no matter what the campaign is. And there's obstacles there. We have serious problems. And there's reasons for the problem. So I'm always curious, and that's kind of the whole pitch is to ask people, what's your take? How are you going to advance this, and how do you determine who you work with and who you shun? So, but thank you very much.
And my response to that is I want to work with everyone, and I don't want to shun anyone. And there's a way that if you, instead of focusing on what other people want as their solution, get to the root cause of the problem and see what you can work together on. Like, I don't think there's really that much conflict between progressives and conservatives if you allow them to make their own decisions at points that they feel like they need to be made. And really what progressives want at the end of the day is they want their society to be moral and just. And we are willing to do stupid stuff as long as it gives us hope at the end of the day. And conservatives are not like that, not even remotely. And at the end of the day, they want the structure of the world to make sense, and they feel like they are powered by God. And if you are aware of those two different perspectives, you can manipulate those two groups and keep them fighting indefinitely. And so for me, when I build coalition, I want to say, oh, really? This is how you view the world, Mr. Conservative? Okay, well, I want to solve that problem too, because, you know, I'm friends with conservatives. Some of my friends, you know, family are conservatives. And it's like they have a right to be on this planet too. And I want to solve their problem as well as solve my problem. So that's kind of the problem I have. Like you just mentioned it, you know, shunning people. Who do you shun? It's like I don't want to shun anyone because I feel like that's a part of the problem. I don't know if anyone watches that show Silicon Valley on HBO, but they literally just did an episode about that where they're trying to figure out who to shun on their new internet, and they ended up shunning the Christian guy because I guess that's a bad Silicon Valley thing. But I don't know. I thought it was amusing because it's a lot of these the art of the time reflects the problems of the time.
Yeah, good conversation. Oliver, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask our special guest, or that's all you wanted to talk about? Or
well, that's it. Thanks, Tony, for asking. I'm out.
Thanks, Oliver.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Oliver, for calling in. We definitely appreciate it. I'm going to go back to this other caller just to give them another chance to see if they want to speak. 618-397, you're live on Meet the Left. You have the floor. Are you there?
They got muted.
618-397? Yeah, I'm not hearing anything. Okay, I'll just put them back on mute. Maybe they're just not wanting to talk. I don't know. Okay, I'm looking on YouTube. I'm not seeing any comments on YouTube. There are people listening in, though. Thank you guys for listening in on YouTube. Let me check Ustream. Yeah, no comments. And sorry, are you guys. Yeah. Excuse me. Let's see. Yeah, there's no comments on Blog Talk either. And to Facebook, you guys, I'm sorry about not being able to live stream with you guys. When I tried to set it up, it didn't go through, and I didn't have enough time to reboot, so you guys didn't get to listen in via Facebook. So we do apologize about that. Let's go ahead and give our special guest a final statement. And then we can go ahead and close the show out because we are about out of time. So let's give our special guest a final statement, you know, just to sum up what we've talked about, because it has been an interesting conversation. It really has. And I hope a lot of people learn some things by listening to this broadcast. We have about, 251 people listening in via Blog Talk. And then eventually I'll add up all the live listening or live listeners, and then I'll give you, you know, how many people listened in or what have you. But thank you guys for participating and listening in. Again, if you ever want to call in, because I know we don't answer the phone a lot, but when we do, we like to hear from you. So 914-205-5327 is the number if you guys want to speak live. So let's just go ahead and give our special guest Freeman Michaels a final statement, and then we'll go ahead and close out the show. You have the floor, Freeman.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. I do appreciate it. It was not normally in my comfort zone and not something I intended to do when I decided to run for office. The advice I have to give is that let's stop pretending these are normal times, and let's stop pretending that things are okay, and let's try to learn to listen to each other in on a deeper level. And if you're listening to someone and you have an objection, just shut up for a bit and really try to understand what they're telling you on a bigger picture, and not try and nitpick. Don't improve their point to you. Try to make it your goal to understand their point. And I think if we all approach this, use that in our daily lives, I think we'll be a lot better off. And instead of just this fighting and division that's just going absolutely crazy. So it's like I'm kind of over that, and I'm not quite sure how much time you wanted to give me to do a closing remark. But that's what I would suggest. Like, people really need to learn to listen. We don't value empathy at all in this society, and that's a shame. Like, right from the get go, we're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? You've got to compete with your fellow students. You know, nose to the grind. Good luck with that student debt. And it's like, at no point in the system do we value the feminine in society, empathy. And that's the thing that holds humanity together. So I think we need to take a step back, especially with political discussions, and try to pull your ego out of it and really understand what the other side is saying. And I'm quite certain that women wish men would do this a little bit more. I'm quite certain that people with darker skin wish that people with lighter skin would listen to understand the perspective more instead of trying to listen to just one specific point. And finally, I would say be thankful, not be complacent by any means, but be thankful, because life is truly a gift and we are truly blessed. And there is no reason why we need to have this much suffering. And if we just stick together, accept each other for who we are, I think we're going to have a much brighter future than what we've had thus far. And I guess you want to know, if you'd like to follow me, I have a website, humanityrises.info. That is humanityrises.info. It currently is pointing for a friend of mine who's running for Congress, since I was booted off the ballot, and she was not. I pointed the website for her campaign, but that has the video with the new cooperative economy that was played by Tony, but has pictures and stuff. It's not just the audio. And then pretty much on any social media, you can find me. I'm Public Freeman. So if you go to facebook.com/Public Freeman, Twitter, Gab, Medium, all of those, I'm at Public Freeman.
All right. And thank you for being a special guest, Freeman. We definitely appreciate it. Hope you come back, and maybe we can schedule something just to, you know, a workshop or something to get people more understanding and talk more about this in this type of environment. So we definitely appreciate you. So with that, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, I encourage people to ask questions and challenge me, because if I'm wrong, I'm okay with it, but I want to know. And because if I'm wrong and you can correct me, great, because now we've all just improved. So don't be shy.
All right. Great words, and thank you again for being a special guest. He has given you all his information. You can also, if you look on the Blog Talk Radio podcast itself, you can see his information that we have put available for you guys to click on and link up with Freeman, because he's actually a cool person as well, with the information that he's trying to present, but he's also a cool person too, so you'll get to like him as you speak with him. So again, thank you guys for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the show. The show will be archived, so you can go back and listen if you came in late or if you didn't have a chance to listen. You can go back and listen at it archived. So thanks again for listening in. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And until we meet again at the appointed time, see you later, everybody.